SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And now, back to Moneyline with Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside.
Donnie Wrightside here on a Wednesday afternoon edition of Moneyline Sports Grid Network, Sirius XM Channel 159. Having some fun here on this solo mission Wednesday. But let's find out where JP is going today. Afternoon action, Kansas City Royals, Oakland Athletics, the chance to hit a home run. I'm going to focus here on the Kansas City Royals. Now, I'm going to say this. There's a couple guys on the team with legitimate chances to go yard today. If we were doing a true breakdown, you probably would look from a left-handed side, which would lead you to MJ Melendez. But I don't know if JP's going that deep here. I think he might just be star hunting on this team. It's either Salvador Perez or Bobby Witt Jr. I'm going to go Bobby Witt Jr. to hit home run for Kansas City.
Yeah, I'm no stranger to MJ Melendez, who I've taken a bet on the show with, but no, I'm going to Bobby Witt Jr. I mean, yes. If you pull Martinez after the first inning, like he's been getting pulled lately, does it matter?
There you go, man. All right. Yeah, no. Bobby Witt, by the way, against right-handed pitching, 388 ISO over the past 30 days. Fantastic. And the reason I did bring up MJ Melendez is he's got a 329 ISO. So there are some shots in that lineup that we can sort of check out. But we are almost in action here. Seattle Mariners, Chicago White Sox, Michael Kopech on the mound, 210 start, 98 degrees at first pitch. 4 o'clock, supposed to be 100 degrees. That ballpark should be jumping today. Julio, call it right now. 2-run shot for him today. 2-run shot for Julio. Let's get it done. And by the way, if J.P. Crawford, you want to have runners on second and third, one out and single up the middle to score two, I'm not going to have any issues with that either. So we're in action there, and we will spend some time a little bit later in this hour breaking down the rest of the Major League Baseball card. A lot of afternoon action going on, but I really like this game coming up here between Seattle and Chicago. It's a worthwhile shot to take a few guys to have two or more RBI, and that's Julio Rodriguez, and that's J.P. Crawford for me. So we'll see what happens in that one coming up, which keep you updated here, which includes the Cubbies, a 1-0 lead here, heading into the bottom of the second inning over the Detroit Tigers, trying to stay in that race. And also, the Phillies and the Giants playing another big game today. I guess more of a big game here for the Giants now, because the Phillies have taken the first two games in this series. Boy, that would be something if the Phillies can sweep the Giants and gain three full games from them after one series. That would be incredible. But sometimes we want to talk about some clowns. And sometimes clowns say stupid things, and also one of them, I should say, is a clown move. The other one is just an interesting topic, which I never think is going to come to fruition. Ari Mirov tweeted this out, and this was at 1:37 p.m. Eastern, so roughly a half hour ago. And he says, "This is different. Hashtag Browns head coach Kevin Stefanski has a rule if there are fights in a joint practice." And he has two caveats here. One, if it is a starter, he now has to play in the upcoming preseason game. Number two, if it is a backup who is fighting for a roster spot, he now can't play in the upcoming preseason game, losing a big opportunity. And he writes, a unique rule to prevent fights, which we've seen so many times in camp, via Albert Breer. Because we know Ari Mirov, what he does is he has Breer. He has Schefter. The minute they tweet something out, he changes a couple words, and he puts it out and credits them there. It's a good game plan, though. And I guess if it works and makes money, more power to him. But looking at this, can you be any more stupid, Cleveland Browns? How does this make any... First of all, fights are always going to be a part of camp and in joint practices. Since, as the Sopranos would say, since time immemorial, it's always been this way. It's hot. It's physical. It's not a game. You're running plays in tight spaces and on goal line and in controlled environments. We're going to run this series. See if you can stop the run. There's holding. There's kicking. There's probably biting. There's punching in those scrums. You don't ever want your team just to blatantly go up and square up against other teams. We all understand that. We all do. If you had a perfect world, nobody would fight. But in training camp, Guys are fighting for their livelihoods to stay in the league. Things are going to get heated. And as I said, you can't be squaring up every play. That would be ridiculous. But every once in a while, if a fight breaks out, and yes, if you start it, your teammates are going to be usually right behind you regardless, swinging away and getting in the melee. That's what teams do. They stick up for each other. So let me hear this correctly, right? How long are we actually playing Kevin Stefanski at this point then, if I'm a starter? Myles Garrett takes off his helmet again in practice and busts somebody over the head on the other team. You're making him play in a preseason game when he doesn't need to? Stop it. Stop the madness. Deshaun Watson, who scrambles out of the pocket, takes a cheap shot from an opposing team in a joint practice, like I think the Eagles are trying to do to him, turns around, throws the football in the defender's face, and a melee breaks out. Up, Deshaun, you weren't going to play this weekend, but your punishment is playing. Then Deshaun gets hurt. So, what are we doing here, Stefanski? And also, if a backup who is fighting for a roster, see the way that's put there? Fighting for a roster spot. Gets in a tussle in a joint practice. He can't play, therefore trying to... I don't even know what the Browns are doing. But then again, they had Hugh Jackson as their coach, who would win like one game a year, and Johnny Manziel as their quarterback. I mean, they've done a lot of stupid things, which include probably giving $250 million, whatever it was, to Deshaun Watson. It doesn't surprise me. Week zero's coming up. Caleb Williams is playing. Hear what he has to say here. How about this? We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back at it here. Let's talk a little bit of college football here. And as I teased before the break, a tweet out here for Dove Kleiman. He's on fire today, Dove. A lot of good information here. This is about USC superstar quarterback Caleb Williams, who we all anticipate, if he just stays healthy this year, will be the number one overall pick in the draft for 2024. No question about it. He's the best. Coached by Lincoln Riley, he should excel this year at USC. But Dove Kleiman gives an update here. And it says, USC quarterback Caleb Williams claims he hasn't decided if he will enter the 2024 draft via Pete Thamel. Williams will likely be the number one pick, but maybe he wants to hold on to leverage in case he doesn't want to go to the team that ends up picking first next year. Caleb, quote, "That's for sure not going to be an in-the-moment decision at the end of the year. That's for sure now going to be an in-the-moment decision at the end of the year." Now, we're trying to make a little bit too much out of this. If he plays well, he's going to be the number one overall pick. He's not staying in college because he doesn't want to go to the, let's just say, Arizona Cardinals. He's going to come out. He's going to get a monster payday. That's what you do. And don't give me there's an NIL now and he can get paid at USC. He's not going to get paid as much as he's going to be in the NFL. And also keep in mind, get to the NFL faster, the sooner you can be a free agent and you can start ripping off hundreds of millions of dollars in contracts, right? That's what we're saying here. There's no way Caleb Williams, outside of A, getting injured severely, or B, being a terrible quarterback, he's going to be number one overall. And when you're number one overall, you come out of college, and no matter what team you go to, you're going to get broke off. And that's what a professional athlete does. He gets paid. Now, let's equate it to this weekend here. College football, week zero. Not a lot of great games. On the FanDuel Sportsbook here, the games listed. Navy Notre Dame, Saturday, 2:30 p.m. UTEP, Jacksonville State. UMass, New Mexico State. Ohio, San Diego State. No, not Ohio State. Ohio, the Bobcats from the MAC. Hawaii versus Vanderbilt. San Jose State, USC. So a couple teams and names stick out here, right? Obviously, Notre Dame ranked 13th, and USC ranked 6th. If we're looking at those games, both are supposed to be blowouts. Notre Dame, -20.5 against Navy, with a total of 49.5. And USC, -30.5 points, and a total of 66.5. Now, if we're looking at the FanDuel Sportsbook right now, the angles to take on these games, like, what would you do here? Because for me, like to usually get a grasp of what these teams are doing after a few weeks and then start firing away. Well, week zero is this week. So we might as well just start firing away right away and having some fun. I think Notre Dame should be able to put Navy on ice. Sam Hartman comes over here from Wake Forest. Love the move. I think he's going to do big things at Notre Dame. So I think they're going to win a national championship? Probably not. But having said that, they should beat Navy. And also, Navy, new coaching change. First time in what, I believe, 15 years, I want to say? Ken Niumatalolo is no longer the head football coach of Navy. Commander of the triple option. They've had very good success over the years. Started to wane late, so they made a coaching change. Now, Navy elevated their defensive coordinator to head coach this year. But there is a new offensive coordinator who said he's going to keep the principles of the triple option in place, as they should. But at the same time, open up the passing game, which is interesting here. There's a reason, people. And if you didn't know this, no shame on you. Army, Navy run triple option. Why? Ah, just what they do. They're old school. No. It's only way that they can compete at a Division I level is to do something that nobody else can do or nobody else wants to do because you don't have the athletes to match up with other teams in a spread offense. So you try to slow down the game, use a little trickery, and do something that most teams aren't able to replicate in practice, the element of surprise. But having said that, if Navy is going to open it up more of a passing game, I don't even care if it actually connects and uses points. I just care that that clock will be stopped more times than isn't for Navy in the past. How many times do you guys watch an Army-Navy game? You say to yourself, and over the past couple of years, like the total is like 32.5, 33.5. And you say to yourself, what? Like, give me 10-7 at the half, and I'm on pace to win this? Like, what about if they score multiple touchdowns in the first half? And then you see a 7.5-minute drive, get out to the 45-yard line, and they punt it inside the 10. Done. Game's over. You're not going to win that total. But if we're looking more of a passing element this weekend out of the Naval Academy, I'm not saying Notre Dame covers the 20.5, but their team total is 34.5, which means 35-plus points they cash in this ticket. Sam Hartman is a really good quarterback. They're going to out-athlete Navy. There's no reason why Notre Dame shouldn't be able to get the 35 points in this game, to be honest. There really is no reason for that. Now, if we slide down to the nightcap, San Jose State, USC. USC, top 10 team in the country. San Jose obviously is not. But San Jose State is not predicted here to be a terrible football team. And if we take a look at how they're supposed to finish in the Midwest, just looking at the Athlon book here, Boise State in first, Air Force in second, Fresno in third, San Diego State in fourth, San Jose State in fifth. Predicted to go 4-4 in conference, and 6-6 overall on the season. Now, they're probably going to get busted up in this game. We might even get an over the total of 66.5. But the angle I like in this game, the same way I took Notre Dame to get over their team total, just because I think Sam Hartman, if you do want to win a Heisman, what better time to show out and get started on your Heisman race than opening day in Dublin on the first game of the college football slate, right? So if we're taking a look at San Jose State, USC, Caleb Williams, that's a football factory out there for quarterbacks. I was going to say maybe not even out there is the right word. Lincoln Riley is a football factory of quarterbacks himself. He's got the magic elixir. If you want to be a dominant quarterback, put up monster statistics, go to the pros, make a lot of money on the way, yeah, pass go and pick up a Heisman Trophy. That's why they're getting all these great recruits out there, because it's apparent. You go play for Lincoln Riley, you're going to win a Heisman Trophy. But as I said that, they should score and score at will. We're not fighting that. But if I look at the preseason All-Mountain West team, first team, quarterback, Siobhan Cordero, San Jose State. So if we're looking at the league with 12 teams in it, and the coaches, beat writers, whoever votes on this is saying that San Jose State has the best quarterback, that's noteworthy here. Again, we're not saying that they're going to pull off an upset getting 30-plus points out here, right? We're not saying that. All we're saying is, can they actually get out here and do some damage and move the football? Now, on the opposite end of the spectrum, catching passes from Cordero, Justin Lockhart, first team offense, all Midwest, or all Mountain West, excuse me. So there you go. If you have a quarterback that's expected to do big things in that conference, and a wide receiver that's supposed to do things big time in that conference, why can't they do big things in the second half when they're getting blown out? And again, we're not talking about lining up and saying, oh boy, they're moving the football at will against USC. The team total for San Jose State in a game that is listed at 66.5 as a total is 17.5 at plus money. I'm taking San Jose State in this game to get over 17.5 points. Just because I believe that if you have a good wide receiver and a good quarterback, all Mountain West honors, they should be able to do something against SC. We'll see what happens here. But week zero is upon us, and so is Major League Baseball. Let's hit that card next. It's Donnie Wrightside on the grid on a Wednesday.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Major League Baseball now going to take center stage for us here. Now, games are already underway. As you guys know, Cardinals 5, Pirates 2, top of the sixth inning. Chicago Cubs, Detroit Tigers, 3-0 now Chicago Cubs. And if you said, oh, I think Bellinger's going to score, or have, excuse me, multiple RBI, you guessed right, he's got two already. Jamer Candelario, the other RBI, smoking hot Cubs, trying to stay hot here in Detroit with the lead. Seattle Mariners and the Chicago White Sox through one inning, nobody has scored. And I think we have one base hit for the Mariners, but nothing so far for number one and number two to get RBI, obviously, for the Mariners since they don't have any runs. But typically, when you're starting the game off with either the first or second position, you're probably not going to be able to cash in RBI just yet. Let's see if it happens. Minnesota Twins 1, Milwaukee Brewers 0. That game in the bottom of the first inning now as the Brewers try to counteract the Minnesota Twins. Games coming up next on the docket, 3:38 p.m. listed on the FanDuel Sportsbook. That's the Royals and the Athletics, Reagans versus Martinez, and then the Giants and the Philadelphia Phillies, Cobb versus Lorenzen, and then followed up by two more games at 4 o'clock. Abbott and Otani go head-to-head for the Reds and the Angels, and then the Marlins with Sandy Alcantara and the Padres, who are on my you-know-what list at this point here, throwing Seth Lugo in a slight favorite at minus 132, which I don't agree with. Marlins won last night against the Padres. They just can't seem to get out of their own way. If you can't win in a Blake Snell start, then you're probably not going to win too many more baseball games, it feels like, for me. Or games, I should say, that I actually want to bet on here. Now, let's take a look at what's coming up next here, right? Let's look at the pitchers who are fadeable on the card today. Some of those guys already in place. Michael Kopech, 7.32 xFIP over the past 6 weeks in Major League Baseball. That's why we faded him and went with a couple players here from the Seattle Mariners to get multiple RBI. Now again, four games already underway. Here's the other pitchers that we want to fade. I'll tell you right now, guys, you don't want to fade today for me? Corbin Burns, George Kirby, Cole Reagans of the Royals, Sandy Alcantara of the Marlins, and Tarik Skubal of the Detroit Tigers. Now, if we start to flow down to the super fives, as I like to call them here, there's 5 pitchers here with a 5 xFIP or higher over the past six weeks in Major League Baseball with a minimum of 20 innings. Now, these five pitchers, 35 2/3, 46 1/3, 28 2/3, 32 2/3, and 30 innings pitched. So we got a pretty good sample size on these guys. I just told you, the worst pitcher on the card xFIP-wise is Michael Kopech, 7.32. He's in a league of his own down there. So we'll see if we can cash in some of those RBI props today. They're underway already, so obviously no sense in handicapping those now. The other pitchers on the card, and we'll start at 19, because there were 23 pitchers that I handicapped, or at least fit the card here, based on 6 weeks and 20 innings pitched. Jose Quintana of the New York Mets, 1-4 over six starts, 35 and two-thirds innings. Get this, he has a 3 ERA, but his xFIP is over 5. So he's due to get damaged today. We'll take a look at him in just a little bit. Austin Gomber of the Colorado Rockies, 5.27 xFIP through 46 and a third innings pitched here. Xavion Curry of the Cleveland Guardians, 28 and two-thirds innings pitched over the last six weeks, 5.36 xFIP number. And then Reed Detmers of the Los Angeles Angels, a 5.50 xFIP for him. So, by the way, Shohei Ohtani and the Cincinnati Reds, excuse me, I should say the Angels Reds, right? Abbott and Ohtani, that's going to be a doubleheader today out in Los Angeles. Game number one, Ohtani's going to pitch. Game number two, that's going to be Reed Detmers, who has really struggled. But the problem with that is you can't just blindly bet into that. You got to make sure you see if there's some viable talent on that offense for the Cincinnati Reds come game two. Angels have no chance at making the playoffs. The Reds are fighting for a playoff spot. So I doubt even if the Reds, let's just say, win game number one, let's rest up for game two. Like, no, you're in a race now. If your starters are ready to go and they want to play, you have to play them. So it's a pretty good chance here that the Reds, win or lose game number one, we're going to be full go for game number two. Now, 6:41 is that first game we're going to take a look at. That's Savali versus Gomber. Monster favorite for the Tampa Bay Rays at a -275 price. If you want to take the Rockies at a dog price, that's +225. Total is listed at 8. So if we're lining this game up, I don't have official starting lineups for this game just yet. But if we're taking a look at Gomber on the mound, his statistics here, as a lefty, are decent against righties over the past 30 days. A 110 ISO and a weighted on-base percentage of .332. Doesn't strike out very many batters, which technically gets you in trouble, because why? Well, if you're not striking them out, that means the ball is in play. Greater chances to score runs. Now, if we're looking at the lineup for the Tampa Bay Rays coming into today, and again, as I just told you, I don't have the official starting lineups. We're just going with an estimate here. They don't hit left-handed pitching all that well. So this is a game that I'm not going to take blind faith and say, you know what, Gomber's got high xFIP numbers, let's just fade away. Arozarena, .392 weighted on-base percentage, really good. Harold Ramirez, .437, very good. Basabe, the shortstop, .393, very good. Everybody else on that team, below rank against left-handed pitching over the past 30 days. So that's one if you wanted to fade Austin Gomber and his 5.27. You're taking a little bit of a leap because Tampa hasn't fared all that well going up against left-handed pitching. So let's keep it moving here to try to find some of these details, per se, for us, right? There are some games out here that matter a lot. We talked about the Philadelphia Phillies game. Cobb isn't a very good pitcher, but the only problem with Cobb is he's got a 4.17 xFIP number, which isn't terrible, and I do think the Phillies can do some damage. But does that mean I want to bet against it at this point? Not necessarily. I'm trying to stick to the game plan here that's been so good to us here over the few months in Major League Baseball season. Washington and New York, and by the way, snubbed yesterday. A bad day on the card yesterday. 2-1. What? 2-1 yesterday between the Yankees and the Nationals? With those two tomato cans on the mound and good hitting conditions in the Bronx, that didn't equate to runs. Ridiculous. All right, let's get to the Dodgers game. Because the guy we want to fade, Xavion Curry, right-handed starting pitcher for the Guardians here. Not great numbers here. On this season, 168 batters he's faced from the right side. .232 weighted on base percentage. .232 ISO. .342 weighted on base percentage. Last 30 days to righties, .260 ISO, .340 weighted on base percentage. Now, the problem where Xavion Curry gets into trouble is it's not necessarily his overall statistics, because on the season, he actually has a .160 ISO combining batters and a .303 weighted on base percentage. That's not bad at all. It really isn't. However, if we're taking a look at what he doesn't do well, that's keeping the ball on the ground. Terrible with ground balls. Terrible with giving up fly balls. That gets you into trouble. That's why his xFIP is high. don't strike out a lot of batters, give up fly balls. That means much more chances at home runs here. Now, my same game parlay today, and again, told you, I'm in a little bit of a funk the past few days. Yesterday was a culmination of, how the heck did the San Diego Padres one lose? I needed the Padres to win the game. They lost the game outright, so obviously I didn't have a chance. But I don't even think Soto or Machado even had a base hit last night. That's ridiculous. So I kept it simple today. Nicknamed it Dodgeball. Going with the Dodgers on the money line and Freddie Freeman to get an RBI. That's as simple as it gets. It's like reaching back in the cookie jar. And you know what? Always something is tasty when I put my hand in this thing over here. We pull out a chocolate chip cookie, and that should be able winning. Should be a winning bet, excuse me, for the Dodgers and the Guardians game tonight. But having said that, Curry's on the card. He's fadeable, a 5.36. Also keep in mind yesterday in Cleveland, weather conditions, blowing in yesterday, blowing out today. Weather conditions in the lower 70s yesterday. Now approaching 80 degrees at first pitch here. Ball should be traveling. Guys that you want to take a look at, I went with Freddie Freeman just because I do think Mookie Betts is going to be on base a lot tonight. And Freddie Freeman, you can never go wrong. Put a guy in scoring position, Freddie's going to knock him in. No outs, one outs, two outs, doesn't matter. He's going to do some damage. But if you are looking and trying to stay true to the numbers like yesterday, Betts, Muncy, Altman, nothing out of those guys. Those guys still add up against right-handed pitching, but if we're being honest, you probably just want to go with the right side today. As I told you, that's the way that Curry has struggled this year, primarily, as against right-handed batters. Mookie Betts has phenomenal numbers. 278 ISO, 462 weighted on base percentage. But again, he does lead off, so you might be burning the first at bat, but worthwhile in the day, it's never a bad thing to go with Mookie Betts. But also with Freddie Freeman, even though it's not the perfect game for him to line up, he's basically average against right-handed pitching over the past 30 days. But it's Freddie Freeman. So I'm just going to buck that trend and say, you know what? Freddie's going to get an RBI today and the Dodgers are going to win. I want to cash a ticket that's close to 2-1. That's where we're going. But this isn't that normal Dodgers lineup that we're looking at. Wow! Every single player in this lineup is absolutely lighting it up. That's not the case. But I do think it's willing for a wager here. If we're looking at Atlanta today, Jose Quintana is on this card, as I told you, for the New York Mets. Now, Quintana himself only has a 3 ERA. Dottie, stay away. Trust your numbers. It's the most important thing. Don't let your eyes deceive you and say, okay, look at his ERA. It's good. That's not what we believe in. If you're giving up fly balls and not striking a lot of batters, you know who's going to hit you? Yeah, the Atlanta Braves are. 88 at first pitch tonight. Light wind blowing in from right field. If you're taking a look at Quintana, who's a lefty, he's fared very well this year against left-handed batters. And by the way, 149 total batters for him, he's only faced 22 lefties. And over the last 30 days, he's actually been very good against lefties and righties. But that's not to say he's due to get damaged. On the other side of the break, I'm going to read you some crazy statistics on the Atlanta Braves. It's Donnie Wrightside in the afternoon.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, Major League Baseball here, center stage in the afternoon as we're mowing down this card. Sixth inning, Cardinals 5, Pirates 2. I do see it locked up right now. I don't know if that means that they're in a delay or any weather-related issues. Not sure about that, but the Cubs now 4-0 over the Detroit Tigers with Scoob on the mound, who's been a very good pitcher. And by the way, I just told you, favorite pitcher on the card would have been Scoob at a 2.92 xFIP. Over the past 6 weeks in Major League Baseball. He's getting lit up early by a red-hot Cubs team. No runs yet in Seattle and Chicago. That is in the bottom of the second inning, and already two at-bats here for J.P. Crawford. Obviously led off the game, didn't cash in an RBI, but did get up with two runners on and two outs here in the top of the second inning and struck out. So not a good look there. Would have been nice to get an RBI in that position, or maybe even a double and two RBI, which also leaves us with Julio Rodriguez leading off with nobody on. So we're going to need a little bit more help later in the game, apparently, here, unless Julio Rodriguez does go yard. The Milwaukee Brewers have now taken a 2-1 lead over the Minnesota Twins. That game in the top of the second inning. Again, games that are coming up next, a few of those which are Kansas City and Oakland, San Francisco, Philadelphia, Cincinnati, Los Angeles, Miami, and San Diego. And then the night card starts up. Now, so we're going over, I was telling you about the Atlanta Braves against Jose Quintana. Quintana actually has pretty good numbers here. Lefty-righty splits based on 149 batters this year, and also that includes games over the past 30 days. But there are some electric numbers on this Braves team here. Forget about lefty-righty splits. Just take a look at the Atlanta Braves against left-handed pitching. And if we go just with the weighted on-base percentages, I'll get to some crazy ISO power numbers in a minute. Acuna, 369. Harris, 466. Olsen, 569. Ozuna, 595. Murphy, 424. Arcia, 501. ISO power numbers, and those numbers, again, if you're not familiar with those, gauge the power of the batter and what he's doing at the plate. 170 or higher is a good Major League Baseball player. Michael Harris, 250. Matt Olson, 571. If you think that's ridiculous, check out Marcell Ozuna, 647. Sean Murphy, 333. Orlando Arcia, 353. So even though you're taking a look at Jose Quintana and saying to yourself, hey, man, he's been dominant against lefties and very good against righties, something sooner than later has to happen. If he's a fly ball pitcher, which technically he is, you just might be giving it up here. Like, did you just take Matt Olson? 25 at-bats over the past 30 days against lefties, absolutely on a tear. Or do you just sit back to yourself and say Marcell Ozuna's the guy because you want a right-handed bat going up against that lefty? One of those ways we're going to fit in the Atlanta Braves. So again, just a surmise. You know who just misses the card, which I would like to fade? Luis Severino. You just take that game because it can. You want to stick to your numbers, but he is 0.5% off right now of getting to 5. He's a bad pitcher. We know he is. Let me see what's going on in the Bronx tonight. Because yesterday was really disappointing. I thought there would be runs, and there wasn't runs last night. We weren't cashing any tickets. Gleyber Torres, Joey Meneses, none of those guys were helping us out yesterday. But if we're looking at Mackenzie Gore on the mound, take a look at this. Like, the Yankees have done very well against lefties over the past month. Not a lot of, you know, backtracking here. But LeMay, who's got a 365 weighted on base percentage. Judge, 667. Torres, 345. Stanton, 390. Volpe, 530. Bader, 482. Higashioka, 540. But Mackenzie Gore, again, 4.33 xFIP. Doesn't fit. But boy, that lineup looks good for the Yankees. Well, that's crazy saying that, right? Losers of 9 straight games. Aaron Boone about to be fired. Who knows what's going to happen with Brian Cashman? But look at these numbers for Luis Severino. Oh, man. You know what? We're going to have to break code tonight, people. We just might have to. And I've been telling you, don't do it. Stick to the numbers here. But can we just round up for a second? 4.95. You round it up. What is it, 5? That's the number we like to use for xFIP here. 25 innings over the past 6 weeks for Luis Severino. Look at these numbers. He's faced 76 batters. If we combine lefties and righties, 364 ISO, 510 weighted on base percentage. If you just want to focus on left-handed batters, a 483 ISO and a weighted on base percentage of 631. Boy, oh boy, we might have to get after Luis Severino today. My goodness. To righties, it actually looks better, right? But it's not, technically, based on the baseline of statistics. ISO 270, weighted on base percentage 412. That's light up category. But the fact of the matter is he's so bad against lefties, it actually looks like he's doing well against righties, and he's not. Now, if we're looking at the lineup here, lefty's probably not the best way to go for power numbers. Having said that, though, Gilbert Ruiz is probably going to bat cleanup. Switch hitter, he'll be batting from the left side. 215 ISO, 370 weighted on base percentage. Joey Meneses, 224 ISO, weighted on base percentage 370, but he is a right-handed batter. Stone Garrett, who didn't get anything out of last night, 241 ISO, 480 weighted on base percentage. Now, I feel like I want to go back to the Bronx today now. Now I do. Like, I want to start to extend and open things up. Like, Luis Severino is bad, we know that. His lineup looks pretty good for the Nationals. Who would those guys be? Because quite frankly, I don't have the official starting lineup, but 1 through 6 that we anticipate. Listen to this over the past month against right-handed pitching. C.J. Abrams, 351 weighted on base percentage. Lane Thomas, 338. Meneses, 370. Ruiz, 370. Dominic Smith, 357. Stone Garrett, 480. Oh, man, does that look good. I think we might have to take a little bit of a flyer here on some of these Nationals. We might have to bend the rules, people. I think we have to bend them just a little bit. Now, let's get to the nightcap here. As I told you, there's going to be a doubleheader on the West Coast. Cincinnati and L.A. Game number one, Shohei Ohtani is on the mound versus Abbott. They're a favorite here, rightfully so. It's Ohtani. He's at home. But game number two is kind of interesting here. Because, again, if we're trying to stick to the script, Reed Detmers has had seven starts over the past 6 weeks. 32 and two-thirds innings pitched. A 550 ISO power number. You know what his ERA is? 7.99. Just about as worse as Michael Kopech, who's sitting there in 8.10. Like, Detmers can get hit. Let me line this up here. Man, we might have to get involved here, too. Because, again, we don't know what that roster is going to be tonight for the Cincinnati Reds. We don't. Temperature 78 degrees, which is really nice there for Los Angeles. That's warm weather at night. 6-mile-an-hour wind blowing out the dead center field. Detmers has struggled on the season against lefties. Be surprised. The 242 ISO power number and a weighted on-base percentage of 385. Detmers was one of those guys. Didn't Detmers throw a perfect game or a no-hitter early in the year? He did one of those. But he's fallen off since then. Doesn't strike anybody out. And particularly over the last 30 days, he's really struggled with right-handed batters. 302 ISO weighted on-base percentage, 437. Now, we're fading him already, people, right? Kopech, Detmers, Curry, Gomber, Quintana, and Severino. Now, we're going to take Gomber out because I really don't like the matchups overall. But Severino, Quintana, Curry, Detmers, and Kopech, they're going to be in the crosshairs. If we're looking at players to back on the Cincinnati Reds, Matt McClain, 217 ISO, Spencer Steer, that guy looks like he might just be an automatic tonight, 250 ISO, 369 weighted on base percentage. Take a look at Joey Votto, who's a left-handed batter. Now, granted, only threw 20 at-bats over the last month against left-handed pitching, a 400 ISO power number, and a weighted on base percentage of 428. There are options here for us that we might be able to get after. And I might, the good, you know what the good part is, too? I know there's some books out here, because I think somebody tweeted at me one, maybe not a week or two ago. But yesterday, like, saying, you know what? There's a late game. I don't want to stay up to see what the actual lineups are, per se. Or I just want to bet all my games at once and let it happen. Now, typically, if you bet a guy that's not going to be in the starting lineup, it just turns out, and gets a pinch hit, and you spot burn that and lose money, that would be infuriating. But I'm always using Bet365 here for my action. And Freddie Fermin yesterday, who was the catcher for Kansas City, ended up not being in the starting lineup last night. Got the money back there. He actually pinch hit, didn't get a base hit, and didn't get an RBI. That would be an infuriating way to lose. But the good thing about that is that doesn't take place. So you can sort of bet these earlier, and if they don't start, no harm, no foul. You get your money back, and you don't really have to worry about, like, oh, my goodness. Like, what's actually going to happen here, right? So those are the good things here, no doubt about it. But we are going to be fading Reed Detmers tonight. No question. Get you caught up on the Major League Baseball card again. It looks like we have a delay here, which I'm trying to, I didn't really check on X to see what was going on this, but it's been paused here in the sixth inning at 5-2. There we go. 18 minutes ago, game alert, Cardinals Pirates in a rain delay on Wednesday. Cubs still up 4-0 here. Mid-third inning, no runs scored yet. Mariners and the White Sox. Now, where is my phone here? Let's want to take a look to see if we had any action here in that second. Because, again, we had, okay, Rodriguez flied out. Suarez hit by pitch. Teoscar Hernandez walked. And then Ty France grounded into a double play. So not much going on right now in that game. Kind of disappointing. But, again, unless Julio Rodriguez was going to hit a home run, that wasn't going to get us a step closer to getting two RBI. We got to get one of those things where multiple guys are on base and we can really get a crack at it. Milwaukee Brewers still up 2-1 here. And again, some afternoon action coming up on the docket. A few games here in the 3 o'clock hour and the 4 o'clock hour. Then we get to the night slate that starts at 6 o'clock. All right, some other hot topics here that we were talking about from the early line, just to put a bow on this show. Baker Mayfield named as starting quarterback here for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. There was no other way to go for the Bucs. They weren't going to have Baker Mayfield as a backup. But by the way, he's going to have a really short leash. If I'm just looking overall at the Buccaneers for 2023, four games before their bye, which you never really want to have an early bye week. They have one. If I'm just looking at the schedule and what I think they're going to be 1-3. And I believe they get Detroit right out of the bye, which could be 1-4, and that might be a wrap there for Baker Mayfield. He's not going to get a long leash, because for me, I don't think they're looking at him as a long-term solution. Maybe catch lightning in a bottle with Todd Bowles to save his job. But certainly it's not like you're holding down Joe Montana on the bench and Kyle Trask. But I do think their price is not according to the talent level. They have a good secondary. They have an athletic linebacking core. They have a solid front four. The offensive line isn't very much, which always is going to hurt you. But you have two dominant weapons on the outside in Chris Godwin and Mike Evans. And also we brought up the fact here. Mike Evans, who has 1,000 yards every single season he's played in the NFL, his prop this year, 875.5. Now, he's had a couple close calls, a couple seasons where he just got over 1,000 yards, but 1,000 yards is 1,000 yards. And you are getting a little bit of help now with 17 games. And Baker Mayfield, if he plays and plays well, he's going to be throwing it all over the lot, forcing balls in to Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, boom or bust all over the place. Baker's a great total backer. Like, if you want an over, Baker's going to throw touchdown passes and interceptions, which means that's the deal, man, when you're looking for totals. Ian Rappaport tweet about 10 minutes ago. Hashtag 49ers quarterback Sam Darnold was named the team's number two quarterback per me and Tom Pelissero. He'll be the backup to Brock Purdy to begin the season. This further puts the future of former number three overall pick Trey Lance in some doubt. Of course it does. Big bust there, Trey Lance. Made a lot of money, though. Can't get mad. Who's the real winner, I like to say? Oh, man, they fired the coach so early, never gave him a chance. What? In the NFL? You want to fire me after 1 year and pay me out for four more years? I'll do that every time. Trey Lance has a big paycheck being drafted in the top five. He's just fine, people. One more segment to go before we give you off to coast. It's Donnie Wrightside. I'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
One final segment today on a Wednesday afternoon. Thanks to everybody who called in, contacted us through hashtag SG Moneyline. Another great show here in the books. Major League Baseball tonight, as always, follow me at Rightside VP. Anything I got RBI prop-wise after the Seattle Mariners game, we're going to be flowing tonight. So I expect a good night here and a bounce back. Once again, my same game parlay from the early line named Dodgeball. Why? Because it's the Los Angeles Dodgers. I need an RBI or more out of Freddie Freeman and also a win out of the Los Angeles Dodgers. And that is going to pay us here at a nice little price point of plus 187. Looking forward to it tonight. I'm going to be watching my Philadelphia Phillies in the afternoon. And also, JP getting in after it today. JP, let them know where you're going today with your action.
Yep, real simple. Bobby Witt Jr. to hit a home run.
Real simple Bobby Witt. Get that fly ball out there. And by the way, talking about fly balls, let's go here. I mean, come on. Seattle Mariners, wake up. White Sox on the board, 1-0 here. It's a 98 degrees wind blowing out. We need some home runs. And as I said, I called my shot here. Julio Rodriguez, two-run blast is going to come up in this game. That's what I'm banking on this. But a deep card here. Also tomorrow, the PGA Tour Championship is tomorrow and gets underway. Scottie Scheffler, the leader at the FanDuel Sportsbook here with a two-shot lead before the tournament even opens. Yes, that's how they do the scoring. It's weighted. How many points you have equates to how many under you are before the tournament even does start. And also, preseason action will be back underway. The Philadelphia Eagles and the Indianapolis Colts. Why is that important? Not really. But we're going to see Anthony Richardson out there on the field as the starter for the Indianapolis Colts as they're going through joint practices with the Philadelphia Eagles currently now. And then away we go to a true Football Friday here on the Sports Grid Network. Why? Because we have action on Saturday, which gets it kicked off, and that's Notre Dame and Navy live overseas from Dublin. Heavy favorites there. Some fun stuff here, man. A lot going on. It's a great time of the year. Yes, summer is running out, but my goodness, fall is my absolute favorite. Thanks for tuning in to the show today. Keeping it on the grid at SiriusXM Channel 159. For JP behind the wheels of steel, Donnie Wrightside, have a good day. See you tomorrow.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.